For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. An Israeli soldier who killed a wounded Palestinian attacker has been jailed for 18 months. Ilor Azaria had been found guilty of manslaughter for shooting dead 21-year-old Abdul Fattah al-Sharif in Hebron in the occupied West Bank in March. Sharif had stabbed a colleague of Azaria's, and he told another soldier that Sharif deserved to die. Military chiefs criticized his actions, but in a case which split the country, he found praise in other quarters. Australian police believe catastrophic engine failure just after takeoff may have caused a charter plane carrying five people to crash into a Melbourne retail outlet and explode, killing all on board. Arthur Stevens reports.
The Beechcraft Super King air twin engine was departing Melbourne's second airport, Essendon, when it's believed a catastrophic engine failure at about 100 feet resulted in the pilot calling a mayday before the plane hit a shopping centre, killing all those on board. The aircraft was reportedly heading to Tasmania's King Island on a specially chartered golf day for the passengers, who are all believed to be American tourists. A witness told waiting media that he saw the plane clip the shopping centre roof, cartwheel, and then crash through the southern wall of the centre where it caught fire. It took an hour and a half to bring the fire under control. Arthur Stevens, Melbourne.
Publisher Simon & Schuster says it's cancelled the planned publication of a book by Breitbart editor and right-wing speaker Milo Yiannopoulos. The cancellation came after he was disinvited to a conservative political conference in the US because of past comments made about paedophilia. Our US correspondent Lorna Shaddick.
The book, with the title Dangerous, was high on Amazon's bestseller lists and had been originally scheduled for release in March. That was then pushed back to June so that Mr. Yiannopoulos could write about his recent tour of university campuses in America. On Monday, the organisers of the Conservative Political Action Conference, or CPAC, rescinded their invitation for Mr. Yiannopoulos to speak this week.
The bodies of 87 African migrants have washed ashore in the Libyan city of Zawiya. It's thought they were trying to cross the Mediterranean to Italy. Three people have been arrested in France on suspicion of plotting a terrorist attack. A counter-terror operation has been underway at one suspect's home in the central city of Clermont-Ferrand, with two further arrests understood to have been in Marseille and near Paris. UK-based bank HSBC has reported a plunge in profits for 2016. It made a pre-tax profit of $7.1 billion, which is down 62% on the $18.9 billion reported for the previous year. HSBC says the sharper-than-expected fall in profits is due to a series of one-off charges, such as the sale of its operations in Brazil. It also cited the US election and the UK's Brexit vote as examples of unexpected economic and political events which contributed to volatility on financial markets. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Welcome to the program to you. It is Tuesday, February 21st, 2016. I hope you're well. Hope you've had a good Tuesday. Special program lined up for you this Tuesday. Let's get on with it then. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. In the meantime, email richie@richieallen.co.uk.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. It's the Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yeah, the Twitter details are at Richie Allen Show. Tweet there, tell me what you're thinking, or you can email richie@richieallen.co.uk. Very special programme. David Icke joins us in around about 60 seconds' time. Looking forward to that. Big time, lot going on, lot happening right now, and in the last few days, of course, a lot of things relevant to David. We'll get through as many questions as we can from you to David over the next couple of hours. We'll do our best with that. I'm sure that much of what we're going to discuss, I'm sure we'll cover much of what you want to talk about anyway. Interact with other people on Twitter by going to twitter.com, where it says search Twitter, put Richie Allen Show, all one word, press enter, and then you'll see what everybody else is saying to me, and you can interact with them. Couldn't be any simpler. Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. Welcome to the programme, broadcasting live on davidicke.com. Bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. The programme is also live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, the TuneIn app and alternatecurrentradio.com in the United States. Without further ado, let's welcome our only guest this evening. I won't waste too much time giving you his extensive resume. I'll just say, welcome back to the programme, David Icke. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Rich.
Are you well?
I'm good. I'm really good, yeah.
You're up to your neck at the moment. You're in the middle of a book and you're preparing as well to restart the Worldwide Wake Up Tour, which begins again next month in Eastern Europe. And then it's a case of where are you not going to be over the next few months? Exciting times.
Yeah, it's challenging to get it all in, but a couple of things. First of all, I remember what it was like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, yeah. 27 years ago, and the way it is now, where the challenge is keeping up with everything, is much preferable to what it was then. And also, this is my life. I don't have other things in my life apart from, you know, my family and my grandkids. The rest of it is work. And that's not to say, you know, oh, you know, aren't I good? I love it. I love it because, you know, when you've been banging your head, what it felt like, against a wall year after year for all this time, and then suddenly the waters start to break as they are, then it's just a fantastic thing to get up in the morning and get on with it, because you can see that you're getting somewhere.
Fantastic. I want to obviously kick off with the Sunday Mail story. Now, you and I had a chat briefly on Sunday morning. The Sunday Mail in particular had been very negative and said some negative things about the survivors of child abuse and said things about it being a fantasy. On Sunday, they talked about the chief superintendent of Wiltshire Police, he might be the chief constable, Mike Veal. And Mike Veal has said that he absolutely believes those who have come forward to talk about Edward Heath. This has got to be poignant for you, the man who, back in 1997, 1998, 7 years before Heath died, named him as a serial child abuser and as a accessory to murder, if not a murderer. A lot of things were said about you over the years for saying that, and here we are now. I know he's dead, and I know there won't be justice for him. Well, maybe there will be somewhere else. You could talk about that, I suppose. But it must be poignant for you. I do believe, knowing you as I do, you get a bit emotional. You've never been selfish. It's never been about you. But you're entitled to get a little bit emotional and say, well, you know, I was telling people that a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I think Heath has probably got a sweat on wherever he is now, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Because
the man was demonic, and I've had my own experience with him that I talk about in one or two of the books in a makeup room at Sky News. For people who have not heard the story, before I started meeting people in the 1990s that were telling me about Heath, to the point where it passed my threshold of, hey, this is true. I had an incredible experience with Heath in this makeup room. I was in the Green Party at the time, and it would have been about, well, late 1980s. It was in the European elections. I think it was 1989, when the Green Party, out of nowhere, suddenly had a lot of votes that it never had before. So I was invited to go on the live results coming in election program on Sky News. And when I arrived, I was met by this lady who took me into the makeup room. And as I walked in, the makeup room door was open to the right. And so when I walked into the room, and the lady said to me, there'll be someone along to sort you out in a minute, and walked out, I thought I was on my own. So I sat down at the seat, facing the mirror, of course, as they do in these makeup rooms. Something caught my eye to my right. And I turned around, and it was Ted Heath. And Ted Heath was in there waiting to have his makeup taken off because he'd just been interviewed earlier on in the program before the results started coming in. And it was an extraordinary experience, completely new to me. And I didn't know what I was experiencing at the time. In fact, for some time, I didn't talk about it because I thought, well, I don't talk about it publicly because I thought, did I really experience that? And then pretty soon, as not too many years passed, I came across this phenomenon that I experienced around the world that other people had had, many other people had had. And what happened was during this experience, Heath never said anything, not a word. But as I turned, he caught my eye, you know, and I said, all right, mate, you know, as you do, nice to meet you. And he just turned to me and started looking at me without saying a word. He had an almost inquisitive look on his face, like, what's this sort of thing? And then his eyes went to the top of my head and slowly, all I can say is scanned me down to my feet and then went back up to my head. And when he reached that point, he turned and faced the mirror, completely ignored me after that. And the point was that when this, quote, scanning was going on, his eyes turned completely black. I'm talking about the whites. I'm talking about all of it. They were just black, jet black eyes. And I said to my family when I got home, it was like looking into two black holes. It was, you know, you have eye contact with people. There's a point where you are making contact. But this was like looking through into something else. I had no idea. I can, you know, explain it to myself now. But at the time, of course, you're thinking, what just happened?
Yeah.
And what I was doing was looking through the hologram of Ted Heath into that which is really controlling these people. And it is very black and very demonic. And so years later, having had this experience, and it happened with another politician as well, actually. But Heath was the one I really remember. I then started coming across stories around the world about the black-eyed people. And then I was reading these stories and I was thinking, crikey, that's exactly what I experienced with Heath, what people were describing. And then as we got into the 90s and, you know, the top of my head blew off and, you know, the rest is history period. Then I started coming across people through the 1990s who were telling me about Heath and others, but telling me about him and his, not just his paedophilia, but his Satanism. This man was a monumental serial Satanist who is responsible for the death torture of extraordinary numbers of children. And so when I saw the story on Sunday in the Mail on Sunday about the police chief of Wiltshire saying or being quoted as saying that he felt that what was being said by the witnesses now talking to the police about their experiences with Heath was 120% true. That was one level of it. But then in the Mail the next day, when they were quoting a source to this inquiry of a group of women who were claiming that their parents were Satanists who ritually sacrificed children and that Heath was part of that ring, then that absolutely fitted with what I was told 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago.
And these women reported this in 1989 too, didn't they? Sorry, David, go ahead.
What was said by the Mail on Monday was, these people, these women, are claiming that 16 children were murdered ritually by this ring. Oh my God, that would make them the biggest serial killers. Male, over here.
Yeah.
That is the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg in terms of the numbers of children worldwide who are sacrificed by these crazies. Just take your mind back to what you accept to be true. Oh, yes, in the ancient world, yeah, then they were primitive. They used to sacrifice children to the gods. Oh, yeah, we know that. They're still doing it. The only thing that happened is it went underground when publicly it became unacceptable. This is the thing, Richard, as I've said many times. The difference between the perception that people are given to download from cradle to grave, the perception of reality, the perception of what's going on in the world, is so staggeringly different and myopic compared with what is really happening that journalists can't make that leap. And I do notice, mate, today that the Mail's running a story about grossly unjust fury over police chief's Heath abuse claim and all that stuff. I hope that the Wiltshire Chief Constable, the signs are quite good so far, but I hope that Mike Veal has a large pair, shall we say, because he's going to come under a lot of pressure, because the last thing that they want to come out is this. Paedophilia is bad enough for them because of what it says about the mentality that we're dealing with. But when you go to the ritual sacrifice of children, drinking their blood and all this outrageous, almost unspeakable, unthinkable horror, then you're into a whole new level. And once this comes out, you see, all bets are off. All perceptions are off. All preconceived ideas have gone about the world and the structures that run the world. They've all gone, because if these people will do this to children, will they have a problem with 9/11? Will they have a problem with systematically bombing whole countries from the air? No, because if you are going to have, and this is important, because it opens the door to understanding beyond our usually programmed naivety in terms of what is actually happening. It opens the door to see the kind of mentality and the level and depth of the mentality that's actually behind world events. Because if you have had your empathy and your capacity for compassion to be deleted to the scale that you would do this to children, then there are no limits to what you will do. So the phrase I hear all the time, they would never do that, that is gone, kaput, once people perceive the scale of what is happening in terms of people like Heath. So this is important that this comes out. It's important that it's not dropped and allowed to be hidden and brushed aside.
Really important. My interjection was just to mention that the women made the complaints back in 1989. And if anybody thinks that a bunch of women would hold on to a game or a hoax for 30 years nearly, you know, they have another think coming. These women who have come forward again 28, 29 years later are doing so because, you know, in my opinion, they're telling the truth. And I echo, of course, what you said about Mike Veal. He's going to have to hold firm. One or two people have been saying on social media that they'd be worried about him. And while we don't do sensationalism or fear porn here, I understand why people are saying they'd be worried about him. And we're not talking maybe physical harm, but we know that the awful powers behind these things, they can make things happen to people's careers, and we'll have to watch that closely. Do you want to say a final word on that before we move on?
Well, this is, of course, what we've seen from experience, Rich. When genuine police officers were starting to genuinely investigate the allegations and evidence in the Jersey scandal, which also involved Heath, by the way, and his boat, Morning Cloud, of course, when they got too close to the truth on Jersey, they were removed. Then you look at the massive scandal waiting to explode in Belgium in the Dutroux case, when that was leading to the rich and famous and the titled in Belgium, thanks to an investigator who was genuinely trying to uncover the truth. And what happened? They manipulated the situation to get rid of him. And who followed both of them? People that put the lid on it. So, you know, we need to keep an eye on this and support this guy if he is a genuine man who is going to stand by seek to establish the truth. Because like I say, they are desperate that this stuff doesn't come out, because it will change perception. It will change perception of possibility, a perception of the world. When this comes out, a prime minister of Britain in front of our eyes, who took us into the what is now the EU, was sacrificing children on an industrial scale, by the way. I mean, where is naivety after that in terms of the world? So they're desperate to keep the lid on this, and we must not allow them to.
Brilliant stuff. I will say, we're going to take a very quick break and we're going to come back and talk about something different. Just to endorse what David is saying, one of the greatest well-known secrets about the Republic of Ireland, and no journalist has really touched this in Ireland, but is the declining church attendance, the Catholic Church attendance in the Republic since it broke majorly, that the scale of abuse within the church was far beyond anything anybody could comprehend. There are friends of mine still working in Ireland, David. I still have a lot of contacts in Ireland. It is believed, and a really good friend of mine used to be a priest and left the priesthood some years ago, it is believed that attendances in churches today are 60% at least less than they used to be in the 1970s and in the early to mid-1980s. And of course, nobody tells you about that. But I mean, that's the sort of thing you're going to see if people understand and come to accept what Heath and many others were doing. You'll see that massive turning away from the establishment, from the powers that be. I have no doubt you're right. Shall we? We're going to take a very, very quick break. We've got David Icke with us for the entire programme. Check out davidicke.com and do go to the worldwidewakeup.com. There are some tickets available to see David throughout 2017. I can't recommend it highly enough. Very, very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Donald Trump. We'll talk about the media. We're going to try and talk about a lot between now and the end of the programme. So I'll shut up and get the break out of the way. Back in a minute.
All eyes on Manchester, Saturday, March 4th, 2017. The Awakening at Bowler's Exhibition Centre, Manchester. Join the stars of the Ancient Aliens TV series and the leading figures in the field of ufology and ancient alien theories. Eric Von Daniken, author of the hit book Chariots of the Gods, and Emmy Award winner Linda Moulton Howe. Get tickets now at www.awakeningufo.com.
Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Road to Ruin. But today I'm issuing a critical new warning to all British listeners. Britain is under attack, and your personal and financial security is in grave danger. To find out why, visit BritainUnderAttack.co.uk now. The threat of this devastating attack increases every day, and it's crucial you act before it's too late. To see what you can do about it, visit BritainUnderAttack.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. See my full warning at BritainUnderAttack.co.uk today.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Join in tonight's discussion by tweeting at Richie Allen Show now.
Yes, do tweet the programme. Also email richie@richieallen.co.uk. David Icke is our guest and we're delighted to have him. He's going to stay with us till the end of the programme. David, just before we talk about what's been happening in the United States in the first month or so of the Trump presidency, Johan Tengra, Johan is in India, and he is amongst many others who are excited about the prospect of you coming to India sometime in 2018. That's a wonderful thing if you do make it over there. I think plans to speak in India are, they're coming along nicely, it's fair to say.
I think so. You know, I let Jamie get on with that, and you know, I do my thing. But from what I gather, you know, early 2018, we're going to do quite a tour of India and also South America. On Ted Heath, before we go to Trump, Rich, I would just like to make this point, lest we forget, that Heath was an associate with Jimmy Savile. Jimmy Savile being not only a record-breaking paedophile, but a procurer of children for the rich and famous, which is why his back was watched. And although police knew about it, and of course the security forces know. I mean, anyone think that MI5 and MI6 didn't know about Jimmy Savile? Hello. But he was left to get on with it because of what he was doing. And, you know, Heath was replaced by Margaret Thatcher, and Savile was, of course, a friend of Margaret Thatcher, whose government has been implicated in this Westminster paedophile ring, not least Leon Britton and her very close associate, Lord Alistair McAlpine, who I named at the same time I named Heath in the 1990s. And it was also, of course, an inner circle bosom buddy of the royal family. Now, if we are going to pursue the truth and understand what's going on, then these questions need to be asked. And of course, the mainstream media has not asked them.
No.
What was this man, Jimmy Savile, who was a record-breaking paedophile that we now know that a number of police forces knew about, that media knew about him? The MI5, MI6 police special branch clearly knew about him. And you can't cough anywhere near the royal family or the prime minister, but particularly the royal family, without they know about it. And yet he was allowed from the 1960s, thanks to Lord Mountbatten, to be an inner circle bosom buddy of the royal family and also then be a close friend of Margaret Thatcher through her years as prime minister. And that was allowed to happen, but they didn't know about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's the same in the United States with Father George Bush, who I've been naming since the 1990s. Another serial paedophile. Do you think the CIA didn't know about him? What did the CIA do? They named their headquarters after him. This is what's going on. You know, through this web that I talk about, these interconnected networks, the inner circle of intelligence agencies and the inner circle of Satanism, the inner circle of paedophilia, the inner circle of the secret society network in general, are all connected. And it's through this web that people are protected, like Heath, like Savile, and like all these other people. And this is what Mike Veal has got facing him now. This network that doesn't want this to come out. And that's why, if he is going to stand there, and he looks like he is at the moment, we need to give him all the support.
Absolutely. And you're right to I think we've had private conversations in the past when we've said, why wouldn't any inquiry want to have an informal friendly conversation with the heir to the throne, who spent a lot of time with Savile. And that's not in any way to be accusing anybody of anything. It just makes common sense. You don't need to be Lieutenant Columbo to think that Prince Charles would be somebody who you'd like to have a chat with to find out what he might have heard or known. That is if you're still trying to pursue those murderers and paedophiles who are still alive. David Icke is our guest. It's exactly 1:30. Massive interest in this on Twitter, and a lot of interest in David's thoughts and opinions on the very, very short, let's be honest about it, the very infantile, I wouldn't say infantile, maybe that's a good word, but it's very early into Trump's presidency. But a lot has happened, David. A lot has been going on since he was inaugurated in January. Over to you, really. People have been dying to get your thoughts on him and the people he's placed around him and what you've made of all of this.
Well, like you say, it's early days, but I would start out by saying, as I would in any situation, but particularly with this, don't listen to the words. Don't listen to the explanations of why something's being done. Look at the outcome. That's the key. The outcome is what matters. All the rhetoric and all the words and stuff that lead up to that outcome is irrelevant. What is the outcome of it? And when you look at Trump's campaign, he sold himself as anti-establishment. I never bought that for a second. When he's made his billions being part of the establishment, not least the financial establishment, and you're going to drain the swamp, and you shouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because she's in the pocket of Goldman Sachs, and then you you hand the American economy in effect to Goldman Sachs with your Treasury Secretary and your head of the National Economic Council. When another Goldman Sachs man is your main advisor, Bannon, then there's something wrong here. The outcome doesn't fit the words. And then you you hand civilian positions, or what should be civilian positions, to balance out the military input, the head of the Pentagon. You give that to the military, in effect, with Mad Dog Mattis. He's obviously very keen to have a military person as national security advisor, because after Flynn went, this guy has come in, McMaster, is it, today? Yeah. And this is significant as well, to say the least. He's handed Homeland Securities to a military person. Now, I mean, military people should not be in charge of domestic law enforcement. I mean, the whole, posse comitatus law is about preventing that. And you might say, oh, it's just a position, and he's former. No, he's military. You know, there's a reason why these so-called former military people are in these positions. And then you look at the rhetoric on Russia, which actually was very compelling for a lot of people, who didn't even like Trump, because it was very clear, blatantly obvious, with the build-up on the borders in the Baltic states, on the Russian borders, by NATO, not least the United States, and by the words and the condemnations of Hillary Clinton, that if she got into power, we were heading to war with Russia. And it was very compelling for people to say, well, say what you like about Trump, at least he's not going in that direction. But even that starting to backpedal now. He's saying that Russia have got to hand back Crimea. And if he's got an ounce of common sense, he knows that's not going to happen. And then you look at the obsession with Iran, which he has, which Mad Dog Mattis has, which Flynn had, that it's the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world, basically. Well, that's the United States and Britain. That's the dynamic duo. So, you know, Iran's at least only third. And not even that, I would suggest. And when you look then at this document that was published in September 2000 by the Project for the New American Century, the personnel of which came to power with Bush in early 2001, running the Pentagon, Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, the comptroller, Dov Zakheim of the Pentagon, all signatories and authors, along with people like Dick Cheney, of this document in September 2000 that listed all these countries that they wanted to regime change in the Middle East. And of course, on the list was Iraq. And as a result of 9/11, the official story of which is a fairy story beyond words, they justified A, going into Afghanistan, but also launching the war on terror, which led them into number one, Iraq, the invasion. Then we had a complete change of president. Obama replaced Bush. We had a change of prime minister. Blair had been replaced by Brown, who was then replaced by Cameron. But still, the next one on the list, Libya, was targeted by them. And of course, catastrophe came there to the country of Libya. Syria was on the list. So next they're into that. So they're obviously working through this list. Now, in many ways, the biggest major prize on that list in September 2000 was Iran. And then you have now Trump and Mattis and all these people becoming obsessed with Iran. Iran's the danger. Now, follow the pattern. Iraq's the danger. Weapons of mass destruction. Oh, Libya, that's the danger. He's killing his own people. Oh, no, Syria's now the danger. Followed by either direct invasion or proxy invasion by armed, trained and funded, quote, rebels and mercenaries. And now we're seeing the same thing with Iran. Now, if you are changing direction, then change direction. But what you see is a continuation of it. And when you also see him starting to pick fights with China, China was also on the list for moving towards regime change. And you know, if you really meant what you were saying about Russia, then you would start to address the fact that this build-up, this blatant build-up on the borders of Russia, had to be addressed. But no, it's continued. More troops going in now. Yes, it's early, absolutely. But you know, the pattern seems to be not changing direction, but continuing with the direction. You've also got this very close association with Israel. Now, what Israel wants, which is including what regime change in Iran, according to Colin Powell in a leaked email released by WikiLeaks, Israel has a stream of nuclear warheads pointed at Iran. So when you look at the way it's going, it doesn't look good to me, to say the least. It seems to be going in the same direction. And when he's also talking, you see, about deleting regulations like banking regulations and so on, and he's trying to sell it as, oh, it will be good for small business. There is far too much regulation. Small business is being crushed by all the red tape and all the stuff that it has to deal with. But it's not small business that is going to benefit from these changes. It's the major corporate banks. Because what he's also talking about deleting are checks and balances brought in after the crash in 2008 that was caused by the deletion over decades through Reagan, Bush, through Bush himself, Father Bush, and through Clinton, of the very checks and balances of the banking system that allowed the free-for-all to happen in 2008. Now, that is madness. This is not draining the swamp. It's handing, to mix my metaphors, it's handing the keys of it to these people. And what is interesting for me to observe is how people have lost the ability, or not everybody, of course not, but significant numbers of people who, like in the alternative media, who were exposing all this stuff before, have lost the ability to critically think. You see, if you're coming from a point of view where you have certain, for want of a word, values, and you believe in freedom, and you believe in fairness, and you believe in justice, then you apply those to everyone. You don't apply them to the people you don't like in one way and the people you do like in another. No, you apply them equally to people saying things you don't like and doing things you don't like, and those that are doing things you do like, saying things you do like. Otherwise, they're not values. They're just fluid excuses to oppose one thing and support another when they're both doing the same thing. And so when you have people like Obama, who were signing executive orders, you know, swish of the pen, law of the land, as a Clinton aide called them, I mean, nothing democratic in that. And when you look at the Constitution, I can't see any constitutional justification for executive orders, because that part of the Constitution they quote does not justify executive orders. So when Obama was doing it, it was like, oh, Obama, executive orders, is outrageous. And then Trump sits down and starts signing them. And that's okay.
Becomes a good thing.
Oh, because he's doing things with them that we like. No, that's not critical thinking. That's not fairness, justice. That's moving the goalpost to suit your own agenda. And it's the same with the so-called progressives. You know, they will attack people for doing things that Obama did that they never said a word about. It's very interesting to observe human behavior, especially when it's been manipulated into this polarized state that has happened, particularly since Trump, but also for other reasons in Europe. And again, let's go back to that. Don't listen to the words. Don't listen to the explanations. Look at the outcome. And as I've been saying for years, chaos is the currency of control. What chaos is, it's a state of flux between one status quo and another. And if you want to move from one status quo to another status quo, a status quo that wouldn't normally follow the other one in the normal course of events, then what you introduce is chaos in the middle to destroy the first status quo so you can offer the second one to replace it.
Yeah.
And when you then look at what has happened as a result of Trump, it's chaos, and B, it's divide and rule. And if you wanted the two greatest tools of mass manipulation, it would be the manipulation of chaos and the manipulation of divide and rule. So if you look at the outcome rather than words and flannel, then the outcome that is we're seeing currently is good for that force in the background manipulating events, as is the chaos unfolding in Europe for other reasons, not least the great controversy and upheaval over migration, which, of course, this whole migration thing is part of what's generated chaos in America and divide and rule. So you're actually seeing the same thing happening both sides of the Atlantic, although it seems to be slightly different in the way it plays out. And what is happening to people who fall for this is they have lost the ability, if they ever had it, to see beyond black and white. to see beyond is or isn't, to see beyond all good or all bad. And what you're seeing with the migration is a classic example of that. What you've got is progressives, oh no, you can't stop immigration. And then you've got others on the other polarity saying stop all immigration. And yet the truth is in states and shades of gray. But that is the critical thinking that is destroyed by black and white perception, which is what people are being manipulated into. Look at the progressives and the Trump supporters in America. They are polarities. And what happens with polarities, perceptual polarities and political polarities, is it's basically an electrical system. One polarity sets up an electrical charge with the other polarity, and they start to empower each other, and they need each other, you know, to be progressive, fighting the enemy of Trump and quote fascism. You need the enemy in fascism, and it's like an electrical system, and you only break it by breaking the polarities and start to think in terms of shades of gray instead of black and white. So
absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
When you're dealing like with Trump and his bans on immigration and his wanting to get illegal immigration, people there illegally out of the country, again, it's shades of gray. Those who are illegally in America, who are involved in organized crime gangs, doing absolutely appalling things, not least to their own people, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing. What do you want? What do you want? More organized crime? Of course not. But then you look at people in America, families who don't have the paperwork, but have lived there a long time, have made connections, have jobs, have family, have interactions. And who, by the way, and we shouldn't forget this, were basically encouraged to go in, knowing that basically it wouldn't be a problem with the sanctuary cities, etc. So come in, to then say to those people, right, we're going to throw you all out as well. That's not the same as organized crime gangs operating illegally in America, not just illegally in terms of the crime, but illegally in terms of they shouldn't be there. But these are the shades of gray, where you you look at something and you make a judgment on the individual situation. But we're not seeing that. We're not seeing that from Trump. We're not seeing that from the so-called progressives that oppose him. We're seeing black and white. And you look at then in Europe, and again, you get the progressive view of let all immigration happen and all migration happen. And they call everybody a refugee. I'm all for looking after refugees, me, especially as a result of wars that the West has systematically created. But that's not what everyone coming into Europe is. They're not all refugees. A great number of them are young adult men, and that has caused problems. It's caused problems in Sweden. It's caused problems in Germany for women and for some communities, because you've got black and white, you see, and you can only deal in black and white. So all immigrants, all immigration, good. Look at the heart on my sleeve.
Madness.
All immigration bad, get rid of all of them.
Madness.
Equally nonsensical. And the shade of gray, if we can become conscious for a minute, is that there are large numbers of people coming into Europe, migrating into Europe, who are in need of help, who are fleeing horrors, who are fleeing wars created by the West. And there are significant numbers coming into Europe who are not fleeing anything. And some of them aren't very nice. And we can't face that because that's racism. No, it's a fact. Give me any racial group you like, and there will be nice people, there will be deeply unpleasant people, and there will be people between the two. It's a fact. That's how things are. But because of this black and white mentality, it's either or. We can't look at it in its totality. We can't look at it in terms of the detail and make judgments on the detail. If this guy is attacking women, this group is attacking women, are we going to see them in the same light as migrants fleeing horrors in Syria? It's ridiculous, but this is how people are being manipulated to see it. And of course, you know, if you look at the propaganda philosophy of the Nazis, one of their key elements was keep it simple. Keep your propaganda simple, because the more you keep it simple, the more people will believe it and the more effective it will be. So you don't want shades of grey. You want black and white, because that's how propaganda works.
The tragedy as well that so many people who should know better, who actually have reported on this very thing in the past, are falling for it and are supporting it. I want to make this clear, by the way, before we go any further. David has been generously supporting us in terms of streaming us for 2.5 years. You know by now it was David's idea that I create this particular programme. The opinions expressed on this programme by me, particularly in the monologue, are in no way a reflection of the opinions of anybody at davidicke.com, at Fab Radio, or at any of the other platforms, alternate current radio. They're just not. You know, we're not one big entity here. I've mentioned more than one independent media outlet, but that in no way is any reflection on David's or anybody else's opinions on those particular outlets. We are going to talk in a couple of minutes about the media. Now, I mentioned in Sunday View on Sunday that it was occurring to me, having worked like David did, but certainly not at the levels that David did, in the independent and commercial media for a good number of years, that there was there is seemingly a global war, or there's an agenda to take down the mainstream media globally. Now, we are going to talk about that, and I'm delighted to see so many tweets and emails have come in about that, about what's going on with the media. But before we do that, we will take a break before that. Before we do that, is it just status, David? Is it just, you know, is it a bit of narcissism? Are there economic reasons for it? And we are not talking about anybody individually, because there's so many people, including on this side of the Atlantic, who've weighed in behind Trump and have deemed him as the man, the messiah to take on the mainstream. What's going on with people who should know better and certainly have known better in the past?
Well, you know, one level of it is that people tend to fall for what they want to hear. That's why I'll say again, it's not the words, it's not the "this is why I'm doing it," it's what the outcome is that matters. That's what we need to keep our eyes on. And, you know, telling people what they want to hear is a very, very powerful form of perception hijack. Because if you're telling people what they don't want to hear, then they're going to resist it. They're going to either turn on you and shoot the messenger or whatever, but they're going to in some way resist it, even if it's just closing their minds to the possibility, because they don't want to hear it. If you tell people what they do want to hear, you've already 3/4 of the way, because they want it to be true. And look at it. Look at the last two the presidents. Obama told the progressives what they wanted to hear, and he got in, and they gave him 8 years of honeymoon, which they wouldn't have given to anyone else. And what did Obama do? It was business as usual, if you follow what happened. And now we've had Trump telling the other wing, if you like, the other polarity, what it wants to hear, and they've bought it as well, instead of watching the outcome. You know, at the very least, people could have said, okay, I hear what he says, now let's see if he delivers. But it wasn't like that. Like you say, it was almost Messiah worship, and still is. And what happens when you do that, and we saw it with Obama, is you close your mind to things that undermine your sense of your hero being who he is. And therefore, if Clinton had got in, and my goodness me, no one's exposed Clinton more vociferously than me. I've been doing it in detail since the 1990s. But if she had got in and put Goldman Sachs people into running the economy of the country, the people now supporting Trump would have been screaming and pointing in horror, saying, see, we told you so. She's owned by Goldman Sachs and the banks. But when Trump does it, it's like just either not reported or not reported in the context of what it is. And what you can do, it's like when you don't want something to be true, you ignore as much as you possibly can until it can be ignored no more, any evidence pointing to the fact that what you want to be true is not actually true. And this, to be honest, is what has led to such a resistance to the fact that there's a global conspiracy going on.
Yeah.
That's been the psychological resistance. We don't want this to be true, so we'll just say it isn't. And I'm seeing that with Trump, just as supporters of Trump, just as I saw it with supporters of Obama. And if we are truly an alternative media, then we should be one step back from the dots and not get caught in one dot or whatever. We should be one step back from the dots. And so instead of supporting a candidate, to me, that's not alternative. That's not alternative media. Alternative media points to the rigged nature of the system that gives 320 million people, or those that can vote anyway, a choice between Clinton and Trump. That's the issue here. How did that come about? Why? Because the system's rigged. And that's where we should be looking at. And then saying, okay, this guy's got in or this person's got in. Let's look at what's happening here. Let's look at the outcome. Never mind what you're claiming. Let's look at the outcome. Once you start getting pulled into campaign rhetoric and hero worship of a single dot, for me, I'm only giving my opinion, that's no longer alternative. That's the system. You're in the system. You're back in that which you once challenged. And so there has been a, and I think it's probably a good thing, there has been a reevaluation by many people in the alternative media about where we are. And a lot of intelligent people have seen through it and have not bought it and are seeing that it's just another expression of the game under another name and another guise. But unfortunately, a significant amount has. And, you know, if you are, if your point of perception is in the five senses, and that's your main point of perception, then you might, from a five-sense point of observation, see world events in a slightly different way to most people. You can still, in five-sense perception, see that there is manipulation going on, see that there are dots that connect. But if you don't go beyond that, go into levels of consciousness that are beyond the five senses, where there are no countries, where there is no physical, where there is none of this stuff that the five senses believe in so totally, then you can look for answers in the world of the five senses, because it's the only place you can see where answers are possible. And so what can happen then is you get pulled back into that which you challenged. You get pulled back into the five senses. And what I'm saying is, here comes a president saying, so, or a potential president as he was, saying something different, saying he's anti-establishment. Well, this guy could be the answer. He could be the solution. But they're never going to be so. Because if they can get elected in a thoroughly, totally rigged system, then they're part of that system. They may not even know to a great extent what's actually going on around them. They might not know very far into the rabbit hole, but they're there because that which is far in the rabbit hole has decided that they will be there because they suit the agenda. So if you want something to happen at a certain point, then you can put someone in there who it might be, you know, quite ignorant of a lot of things, but their natural behavior, their natural way of doing things is going to get you what you want at that point. So you put them in there. And anyone who thinks that, you know, Trump's not being put in there, as I said about Bill Clinton when he was president, these people have not got skeletons in the cupboard. They've got whole cemeteries. And if you wanted to reveal that and stop Donald Trump getting to power, you would have done it. You would have done it when he was running for the Republican candidacy, and you would have done it. You could have done it when he was running for president. But it didn't happen on the scale it could have happened to destroy him. And when you look at, for instance, Margaret Thatcher, when she was put in, systematically in Britain in 1979, she was put in there because she had a natural attitude to economics and society that these guys wanted in that period. And so she was in there. She wouldn't have known she was manipulating deep in the rabbit hole, but the nature of who she was what they wanted at that time. And it was no accident that a year after she was elected in Britain in 1979, Reagan Bush came in 1980 and actually ran exactly the same policies, basically, in America as was run in Britain. In Britain, they called the economic policy Thatcherism. In America, they called it Reaganomics, but it was the same thing. This is not an accident. That is what they wanted to happen, both sides of the Atlantic in that period. So people were put in who would do that. And Trump is a vortex of chaos. He's also incredibly narcissistic and has not only a massive ego, but an incredibly fragile one. You know, when I look at Trump sometimes, you know, and I see the big I am, I see a little boy in short trousers, mate.
Yeah.
And when your ego is so fragile that you can't even leave criticism on Twitter alone, you have to respond to it because some celebrity's had a go. Who cares? But he cares. And so you've got a psychology there that's very fragile and very volatile and very reactive. And it's a manipulator's dream to have someone like that in a position of power with people around them that can manipulate that psychology. So we have what we have because it's been decided this is what we have. And look at outcomes, divide and rule, all those other things, plus the chaos that's unfolding. And I said on a video that the day that Trump was elected that his supporters were going to be very, very disappointed by how he turned out because he wasn't going to be what they thought he was. But that I hope that realization would take us on to the next level, because Trump was elected not because of who he is, but who people perceived him to be. Anti-establishment, going to take on the one party state masquerading as two and all that. This is a consciousness now that's becoming more and more obvious. It was the consciousness that led to Brexit, when the almost entirety of the political classes in Britain were telling people and trying to frighten people to do one thing. They did the other. And the perception of Trump, of what he was another expression of that. But we need to go on to the next level. The understanding that if we are going to make these changes, then it has to come from the ground up, not from the top down.
Not from the top down.
The top is there to stop the ground up. That's the whole point of why it's there.
We are going to take a quick break. I'd like to, in the next 40-minute segment, 45 minutes, if you're up for it, this is not a dictatorship here. Speaking of dictatorships, I'd like to try and cover two things. I'd like to cover the Trump and the media and Max Mosley and the media here and the links between them, because I know you're very interested in the connection between what's going on there. And if we did have time, the undoubted attempts by the Blairites and others to prevent Brexit from happening. Now, a number of listeners have tweeted that, so if we can find time for those things. It's 5 past the hour. We're going to take a very quick break now. Our guest tonight is David Icke. Go to davidicke.com, bookmark davidicke.com, and the worldwidewakeup.com is where you'll find out where David is going to be. He's back on the road again in a few weeks' time. I'll tell you more about that shortly. In the meantime, quick break. We are broadcasting live. It's 5 past the hour on alternatecurrentradio.com, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, the TuneIn app, my own website, and of course, where it all began, davidicke.com. Back in exactly 2.5 minutes.
Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Road to Ruin. But today I'm issuing a critical new warning to all British listeners. Britain is under attack and your personal and financial security is in grave danger. To find out why, visit britainunderattack.co.uk now. The threat of this devastating attack increases every day, and it's crucial you act before it's too late. To see what you can do about it, visit britainunderattack.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. See my full warning at britainunderattack.co.uk today.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
All eyes on Manchester, Saturday, March 4th, 2017. The Awakening at Bowler's Exhibition Centre, Manchester. Join the stars of the Ancient Aliens TV series and the leading figures in the field of ufology and ancient alien theories. Eric Von Daniken, author of the hit book Chariots of the Gods, and Emmy Award winner Linda Moulton Howe. Get tickets now at www.awakeningufo.com.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Welcome back to the programme. Just before we move on to the media with David, a number of people have reported streaming issues on Twitter this evening. A number of people, quite a few people. And I've had messages from people in Ireland as well. What's extraordinary about that is we've had the stream monitored by Aaron Callan has been monitoring the stream. Hayden Hewitt has monitored the stream for me. I've actually been listening to David while actually listening to the stream on a computer and on a phone. And we have no issues. none of us are reporting issues. It's streaming fine and it's okay. So I don't know whether it's a browser issue for you, for those of you who have these problems, if you need to change your browser, I don't know. But we are reporting no problems. We can see exactly how many people are logged on at any one time. The numbers are very healthy. It's obviously a bigger audience than usual because David is on. There's no doubt about that. But we're not near the threshold. We're not, because we have the capacity to host an enormous amount of listeners. We're not nearly, you know, at the point where we're going over it. Much, you know, much heavier than usual because of David's presence. So I don't know. So I don't know what I can say about that other than it seems to be all fine. Our end. And if anybody is having any problems, remember, it'll be on podcast real soon and on YouTube as well. Our guest is David Icke. He will be back on the road. He's in Slovenia on March 19th. He's off to Iceland the following week. Then he's in Croatia, Zagreb. He's off to Gothenburg in Sweden, Serbia, Canada. Canada will be amazing, no doubt. He's in Paris, in Berlin, in Bratislava. Dates are being added all the time. Go to the worldwidewakeup.com. That's the worldwidewakeup.com, or the links will be found also at davidicke.com. He's our guest, exactly 10 minutes past the hour. If you're happy with that, mate, to talk a little bit about Brexit later on, I mean, I know there might be things you might want to talk about.
Ah, no problem.
Yeah, because a lot of interest in that and what's going on, some of the things Peter Mandelson said yesterday, and we could spend all night talking about him.
Well, it must be true if he said it.
If he said it, you can take it to the bank, not. But he did say, you know, and a lot of them are saying now, you know, we should not only put it to the people, you know, which they can make an argument for, the deal. They're not talking about that. They're talking about a second referendum. But I know you want to talk about the media. And there's a lot of glee being expressed by even some of our listeners. And you've had people responding to your Facebook posts and the Facebook posts of davidicke.com, people who followed you and your work for years, and they're expressing great glee at the media being given a good kicking by Donald Trump. I think there's more to this than meets the eye. What do you think?
Well, let's go back to the word outcome. What is the outcome? See, again, it's important that we don't fall for this is what I want to hear. We look at outcome. Now, what is the outcome they want? They want an outcome in which there is no genuine alternative media, where those genuine people, those fact-checking people, those people for whom facts are their deity, if you like, that check and check and check again, and uncover things on that basis, they don't want them. They want them gone. Within the mainstream media, which is as a vehicle for fact, truth, fairness, is a global disgrace, there are still good, genuine, proper journalists who, within a terrible situation for them, are still trying to do good journalism, are still trying to do what they believe to be right, are still trying to inform people of what they think people should be hearing. Those people still exist. Don't let some fall for the fact that every mainstream journalist is either uninformed or manipulating. It's not like that. The vast majority are completely uninformed, but they have the arrogance of ignorance, so they think that they must know what they're talking about. And you have people who are genuinely, knowingly manipulating who are journalists. They are the few compared with the rest, but they are significant. I mean, you had the revelations of the German journalist who unfortunately died of a heart attack in January, who was a very well-known journalist on a major German newspaper, who came out before he died pointing out that the CIA were controlling journalists and the intelligence agencies were controlling journalists on a major scale. And the fact was that they controlled him for a long time. And they were handing him articles which they wrote which he would then have to put in the newspaper under his name, because he said if I didn't, I would lose my job. So we have a compromised, we have an ignorant, and we have an arrogant and often compassionless mainstream media. But within there are genuine people still doing some good stuff within the great confines they have to work with. And the system wants rid of them, as well as it wants rid of the genuine alternative media. Because what it wants to do is to basically delete any communication of substance. This is why Facebook and Twitter and such like have taken such a chunk of focus in terms of where people get their information from. I mean, we now have a president of the United States communicating in 140 characters. I mean, where are we going in terms of substance being deleted? Hello? And of course, once you have platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and such like, you have a vehicle which you can censor. We're seeing it. You know, there are algorithms that stop great numbers of people that have, if you like, not signed up, but indicated that they want to receive my social media posts.
Followers,
who don't
yeah.
get them
yeah.
because the algorithm stops that happening. So this is how easy it is once you funnel and herd people into getting their information from these platforms. Now, if you're going to do that and you're going to delete substance and you're going to delete any quality journalism and investigative journalism, be it so-called alternative or mainstream, then you've got to target both of them. Because in targeting the fake news alternative media, and let no one kid themselves, that doesn't exist. You are targeting your real target, which is the genuine alternative media that doesn't deal in fake news. And in targeting your genuine journalists in the mainstream that you want to silence and prevent from doing proper investigative journalism, you target that which the public is very happy to be targeted because it's appalling and has been lying to them generation after generation, never more so than now. So when you have running together, look at the outcome. When you have running together this fake news attack on the alternative media, where you know, a conspiracy theorist is a label of contempt, you also have this Trump onslaught on the mainstream media. And he's being cheered on, as you rightly say. And he's being cheered on because much of what he's saying is true. Not all of what he's saying is true in terms of the media, mainstream media being fake news. So he's attacking and seeking to undermine the mainstream media by calling it fake news. And the mainstream media and the authorities in general are targeting the alternative media at the same time, calling it fake news. I mean, it talk about a double whammy. And like I say, the outcome they want is censorship of the genuine alternative media based on the fact that it's fake news, just like the real fake news aspect of the alternative media. And that's why the fake news clickbait alternative media is so disgusting, because it's giving ammunition to attack the genuine part. And they want rid of genuine journalism in the mainstream, so no quality investigative journalism takes place there. And what the outcome of that is the end of quality investigative journalism, whether it's alternative or mainstream. So we're seeing in this country attacks on the mainstream media in terms of possible laws being introduced, which will actually take down the media through making them pay the costs in libel actions of people who lose. It's madness. I mean, just explain this to me. Explain this to me. Okay.
Madness is, yeah. This is madness.
I thought for a second that you said to me that if someone takes a libel action against a newspaper and loses, I thought you said to me that the newspaper then pays the costs of the person who took the action and lost. Well, yeah, that's what I did say. That's how mad it is and how blatant it is of what the planned outcome is of that. And then you've got all the other things going on, seeking to put a chill through the mainstream media so that they don't do any investigative journalism or proper exposure. That this is what the hacked off thing was all about, and the Leveson inquiry. That's all that was about. All this phone hacking. There were laws against phone hacking before, and there are laws against phone hacking now. The phone hacking was an excuse to bring in more laws to target not phone hacking, but genuine investigative journalism.
Problem, reaction, solution, as you've said many years ago.
And so what I'm saying is once you destroy genuine journalism through these means, this double whammy, ironically, on both sides using the term fake news, you are then left with 140 characters, Twitter and Facebook, which are so easy to censor. You now control global news communication and news output. You control it. You control it like it's never been controlled. So let's be streetwise here. And while we acknowledge there's fake news in the alternative media, while we acknowledge there's vast, vast fake news in the mainstream, that we don't throw babies out with bathwater here and cheer on something that we'll later regret.
A disaster. Can I just, David is talking, what he was talking about a second ago is, and I'm certainly not now in any way correcting David or speaking on his behalf, but I want to just re-emphasise the point that I made on the Sunday programme. What you're seeing is the government has acknowledged only one regulatory body, and that's the Max Mosley company in press. And as David said there, they're threatening the print media in this country, the media in general, that if you don't sign up to this state-approved regulatory body, we will then enforce the Article 40 of the Act in 2013, we will enforce this, which from the point you refuse to join the body, which is basically state control of the media, then from thereafter, if somebody wrongfully sues you for libel, you'll incur their costs as well. This is right in people's faces, this. It's no joke, this. And David, I think it's fair to say I think there's no doubt that what's going on with Trump and what's going on over here, there's no doubt that that's coming from the same source, right?
Yeah, you see, there are levels of the rabbit hole, and the rabbit hole is fiercely compartmentalized. So what one level of the rabbit hole is doing, believing it's doing it for a certain reason, is almost never the reason deeper in the rabbit hole that they're really doing it. But they don't go deeper in the rabbit hole, so they don't know that. So when people, for instance, say, Trump must be anti-establishment because the intelligence community is against him, the media is against him, and so on. Well, if you go deep enough into the rabbit hole, the level of intelligence, the intelligence community that is leaking against Trump is nowhere near the controlling level of it. So you can tell and orchestrate the intelligence agencies to leak against Trump. And the people doing it think they're leaking against Trump, anti-Trump. Deep in the rabbit hole, they couldn't care less about Trump. He's just another puppet. It's the outcome that they want. And of course, what is happening? A, it's adding to the chaos. It's adding to the upheaval. It's adding to the state of flux that you need between two status quos. And it's giving the impression to Trump supporters that actually he must be anti-establishment because the intelligence establishment are against him. And then you look at media owners. See, you know, the media owners have a line. They have a party line. I mean, you've only got to look at that DVD. I think it was called Outfoxed, where former employees and journalists of Fox News did this DVD documentary exposing how Fox News was run. And it's not just Fox News, it's all of them. What happens is from on high, every morning, a list of stories that they were told they were going to run today were dispatched, and also the way those stories were going to be treated was dictated right at the start of the day. There was one guy on the DVD who was told to go to some Reagan Museum.
That's right, Jay.
And the library, yeah. From there, I think was it Reagan's birthday, something like that.
It was the library,
And he was to report all these crowds that were arriving to, you know, to congratulate Reagan. Well, no crowds arrived.
Nobody turned up, yeah.
But and when he tried to tell the truth, he was told he was going to make it up. So he had to tell the public how all these people were coming and the outpouring of support for Reagan. None of it was true. And that was just one report on one morning, on one day. This is happening all the time. So then you ask the question, okay, on high, where did that dispatch come from? It came from that which controls editorial policy on Fox News and these other CNN, etc. But where did they get it from? You know, it's a hierarchy. So even at that level where they're saying to the reporters, this is what we're going to report today and this is how we're going to report it, they don't know where that's ultimately started out from. And so deep in the rabbit hole, they are running a certain agenda on the public, on society, which all the different levels that play out from that level out into the public arena, be it journalists, be it intelligence agencies, whatever, they don't know what that ultimate agenda is. They only know what it looks like from their perspective. And this is the level you have to go to if you're going to realize how all this fits together. So, you know, they couldn't care less about the media. They it's just a vehicle to them. These corporations, it's just a vehicle to them. It's not an end in itself. They're trying to get somewhere. And all these organizations are merely vehicles to get there, including presidents of the United States. It's not them we should be focusing on, but that which is way beyond the public arena. What's its agenda? Because that's how you get to understand what's really going on in the world that you can see.
It's 28 minutes past the hour. The time is flying. You know, you reminded me there of when I started out, and I was being trained to do everything in the event that anybody got ill. And I was being trained in the newsroom how to prepare the 4-minute news bulletins at the top of every hour when the jock in the studio hands over to you and you do that. And I remember a guy called Pat Murphy, lovely man from Tipperary, who was training me. And I was a bit nervous. And one afternoon somebody got sick and I ended up having to read the news. And I've never had much of a Dan Rather or a Walter Cronkite type voice, so I was terrified. And Pastor, listen, Richie, we have a bit of local news that we're running all day. Use that and some audio clips. And he said, then take what comes down from IRN. And I said, what's that?
And he said, that's IRN, yeah.
IRN, Ike, you know all about it. Independent Radio News. And I said, what? And he said, Richie, they'll send down stories all the time. That fax machine is going to be moving all day long. Take some of the stories, anything that's relevant to us, rewrite it in radio language, in radio, and read it out. And I did. And of course, a little while later, it occurred to me, how did we know that was true? Who wrote that story? Why did they write it? What was their motivation for writing it? And where did they get their information from? And it dawned on me then, even at a very early stage, you know, what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. When you look at the major news agencies, Reuters, whatever, you can have one person in one place somewhere in the world write a story about an event. It goes out on the wire to vast numbers of newspapers, radio and television stations, and gets read. I mean, you know, people go onto YouTube, they can see compilations. They're hilarious. They're actually tragic, really, from a freedom point of view, but yeah, they're hilarious to watch, where they show clips from news program after news program after news program, different channels, different programs, where they're reading word for word the same story, which is what we used to call in the BBC rip and read, where and IRN, I work with that too, where about 10 to the hour, sometimes nearer the hour, the words of stories would come up from a central point in London. This is what happens now with the vast swathe of commercial radio in this country. It also happens with the BBC and local radio stations. From a central point, news stories come up, and you rip them off, ends rip and read. You take them into the news studio and you read them. And at the time you're reading them, other people all over the country, and in terms of people like Reuters all over the world, are reading the same story. This is what's happening. I was in South Africa once. I was being interviewed live on a radio station, and I think it was in Cape Town. And the newsreader came in, sat next to me, and she was introduced by, and we were talking about some of this stuff. And she read the news in the way that I've just described. And when she stopped and handed back to the presenter, I just said to her while it was live, just out of interest, how do you know any of that which you've just read is true? And of course, as my mother used to say, she looked at me gone out. I mean, she just, what do you mean? They don't.
No.
As you well know, what you do if you're a television presenter or you're a radio presenter, you get these words. You don't know if they're true or not, because you don't know ultimately where they've come from. And then it's almost like acting. You deliver them with a certain confidence as if you know it's true and as if you understand it. It's all an act. This is what these people on television and news shows are doing. They're reading words in the camera written by someone else, looking as if they're intelligent and they understand what they're talking about. That this is what's happening. It's all a show. It's all a facade. You know, when I mentioned earlier about this dispatch comes at the start of each day, and they follow the stories they're told to report in the way they're told to report them. This is why if you watch CNN, it's not so much in Europe, because I don't think we'd have it so much because we're not used to that kind of television news. But in America, if you watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, they go from program to program. They call the program a different name. It has a different presenter, but the stories they cover are exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Hey,
program after program, hour after hour. It's incredibly tedious if you watch it for a bit, because there's no variety. It's just and in America, the programs are the stories are almost entirely focused on either what is directly affecting America or what is indirectly affecting America. Nothing else is there.
Nothing else exists.
A foreign news story for the sake of it, that we get used to in Europe, or, you know, it just doesn't happen there on anything like the same scale. And what it is, it's a perception download. It's ever so simple. This is the thing, you see, it's so simple. People get their perceptions from information received. That information might be a personal experience, but usually in terms of getting your perceptions of world events, it's not a personal experience. It's a download from the TV news or whatever. And then you make sure that basically people are given the same story. They're given the same treatment. So, you know, when you listen to that German journalist on how the CIA has journalistic assets all over the countries of Europe, not in America, you know, I mean, goes without saying, but all over the countries of Europe in key positions who are doing the CIA's bidding. This is why, out of nowhere, look at it. Always beware when something comes out of nowhere and suddenly is everywhere. Always beware, because that's not by accident.
It hasn't happened by accident, yeah. David, just before,
came out of nowhere and was suddenly everywhere. Having a parliamentary investigation into it. You look at the demonization of Russia and the blatant coordination of that narrative that you had in America, you had in Canada, you've had all over Europe. This is the coordination, because as the Nazis said, if you say something, repeat something enough times, people will believe it. Repetition, one of the greatest form of perception control and perception manipulation. And that's what you get through the mainstream media. Now, take out the genuine alternative media, take out that which is left of genuine mainstream journalism. What are you left with? You're left with only the official narrative on everything. And that is designed to give people no alternative information that would challenge the perception the mainstream everything is trying to download to them. That's what they want. And this is why we're having this attack on the media. And ironically, you know, I have mentioned, I think, tonight, divide and rule. Ironically, you've got the mainstream media attacking the alternative media under this label of fake news, not least because the alternative media has been taking audience from the mainstream media in vast amounts in recent years. That's why newspapers like the Independent have just gone online and no longer print their main newspaper.
A disaster, yes. Yeah.
And so the mainstream media is jumping on the alternative media. And what they're actually doing is playing a part in their own downfall. What the alternative media needs to do, and those that think alternatively, is not to see the mainstream media as only lies and appalling journalists and appalling journalism, but to see that still within it are people with integrity. They may not know the big picture, but people of integrity are trying to do the right thing. And what we need to do, the genuine alternative media and the genuine mainstream media, even the less than genuine, because they're all going down with it, is to come together. Say, look, we don't agree on lots of things, but what we're facing here is a single force that's trying to destroy both of us. So why don't we come together and see what we can do together in meeting this challenge, rather than fighting each other and weakening any resistance to what is unfolding in terms of both of us.
Or being triumphalist when we see what's happening to the mainstream media. That's absolutely spot on. We're going to take a break, because we have to take a break, and then we're going to have about 10 minutes to talk Brexit. Just before we do, though, I couldn't resist. You sent me this clip some years ago. This clip pretty much highlights and illustrates is a better word. It illustrates exactly what you were talking about the scripts being read by the big news programs.
In consumer news, economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
We could leave it go on and on and on. You remember that, right?
Oh, yes. It's a classic, and it's just a wonderful focused example of what goes on every day all over the world.
Every single day. We're going to take a break, right? Folks, David Icke is on the line, davidicke.com. Bookmark the website. The headlines page is terrific. Can't recommend it highly enough. And the worldwidewakeup.com. Very quick break. When we come back, in the short time we have left, we will put that question about the attempts to derail the referendum result from June 23rd last year. The perceived attempts to derail it anyway. See what David thinks about that in exactly 3 minutes back then.
Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Road to Ruin. But today I'm issuing a critical new warning to all British listeners. Britain is under attack and your personal and financial security is in grave danger. To find out why, visit britainunderattack.co.uk now. The threat of this devastating attack increases every day, and it's crucial you act before it's too late. To see what you can do about it, visit britainunderattack.co.uk right away. It's not too late to prepare. See my full warning at britainunderattack.co.uk today.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you in North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
All eyes on Manchester, Saturday, March 4th, 2017. The Awakening at Bowler's Exhibition Centre, Manchester. Join the stars of the Ancient Aliens TV series and the leading figures in the field of ufology and ancient alien theories. Eric Von Daniken, author of the hit book Chariots of the Gods, and Emmy Award winner Linda Moulton Howe. Get tickets now at www.awakeningufo.com.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Broadcasting live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2, Alternate Current Radio and TuneIn Radio. This is your Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. David is our guest this Tuesday. It's great to have him on. Very busy at the moment writing a book. He's some way into that. He'll pause in a couple of weeks' time. As I said, he's off to Slovenia, where the Worldwide Wake Up Tour kicks off again for 2017. He's going to be visiting a lot of cities. Go to the worldwidewakeup.com. It's all over the world. And I can't recommend it, as I said, highly enough. An extraordinary thing to see. It really is. Over 10 hours of the sort of in-depth research presentation that it has never been done before, ever, by anybody. So do go to davidicke.com. David, in the 12 or so minutes we have left, Brexit then. We voted on June 23rd to leave. It gets extensive coverage, this, quite rightly, on davidicke.com/headlines. You said at the time, I remember you said, marvellous, this is a wonderful thing that people have done this, but now the real work begins, the work to deliver it. Do you still feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when you have a situation with a EU dictatorship whose goal is to suck up the entirety of Europe, to take on more and more countries, to centrally dictate to them, and through a series of events, unforeseen by those that promised them, that Britain voted to come out. There was a panic button pressed, and the laxative order was permanently deleted. And what they've been doing is running around saying, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic, while panicking and panicking and panicking, to try to come up with a way that they can stop this happening. And it was significant that the Supreme Court said that this bill, this negotiated Brexit, had to come before Parliament. That was a big, big moment, because while people are running around saying, oh, no, we're not saying we want to stop Brexit, it's the will of the people, that's exactly what they want to do. And they now have the power to decide on the negotiated package, if you like, that is put before them when this process of coming out finally comes to its close. And therefore, they have the power, because there's a significant majority in both the House of Commons and the House of Lords that don't want Brexit to happen. So quite a chunk of power, to say the least, has been handed back. But what this extraordinarily deluded man, Tony Blair, and his Svengali of so many years, Peter Mandelson, what they want to do, by what people like Mandelson might say, is they want to create a situation where there's a second referendum justified by giving the people the right to decide on the terms. And their hope is that by then they will have persuaded enough people to go the other way to stop it happening. Just look at the history of countries that have voted in referendums against what the Brussels bureaucracy wanted. Ireland's an example, and there are many others.
Denmark, of course.
Yeah, and what they did was wait a bit, do some manipulation, throw a bit of money around, and then probably with other sorts of manipulation as well, they got the second referendum to change the decision of the first. When they tried to do that with the Dutch and the French over the European Constitution, the numbers were so great, they obviously realized that they were never going to overturn that in the same way. And so they ditched the Constitution and called it a treaty with 98% of the same things in it, and said, we don't need that referendum on the Constitution doesn't affect it anymore, because that was voting on the Constitution. Now this is a treaty, we don't need a referendum. So it was again in your face. This is the agenda, and we're not saying no. So when you look at that, the vehemence and the fascist nature of imposition over the years, they were never going to let Brexit go without a hell of a fight. And so that's what we're seeing. And you know, the ironies are extraordinary. I saw today people in the House of Lords, or yesterday, talking about the need for democracy. We must have democracy over Brexit. You know, Parliament, the House of Lords and the House of Commons must decide. And I'm looking at these people and I'm thinking, well, who the hell ever voted for you?
Yeah, that's right.
You're in the House of Lords because you made a major donation to the Tory party. That's why you've got to vote. I mean, it's insane. And what are we back to here, Rich? We're back to what I talked about earlier, that instead of saying this is right, this is just, this is fair, this is what I stand for, it's, well, it's not fair when it's saying something I don't like, it is fair. when it's saying something I do like. And we're seeing this whole psychological situation with Brexit as well, where it's, you know, you had a situation where we had this referendum. Had it gone the other way, no way would there have been a second referendum. No way would they
any discussion even
all this that's gone on. They would have said the people have spoken, because the people had spoken in the way they wanted them to speak. Now they haven't. Now this is what they're trying to do. But, you know, who says that 2 years down the line that even more people have seen through the facade, have seen through the smoke screens of deceit, and will have even more people in their greater understanding of what the EU really is and what its game is and why it's there, that they even more people will reject it. And when when all you can put up is Tony Blair, Peter Mandelson and Neil Kinnock, well, you are in trouble.
Serious trouble. Yeah.
And Tony Blair has reached the point now where anything he's for, those who are against it start cheering. There was a lovely tweet. I can't get it word for word, but I saw it when Blair came out and said it was his mission to stop Brexit. Somebody tweeted words to the effect of, "I was basically desperate and suicidal when people voted for Brexit. But now I've got Tony Blair in my corner. How bad could it possibly get?"
And that's an interesting thing, that. Yeah. Why are they allowing that absolute ghoul, because that's what he is, this ghoul, this spook, this entity, this disgusting war criminal, why are they allowing him do that? Because it's turning people against what they want, obviously. That's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But look at the foot soldiers, mate. Look at the foot soldiers. There ain't many around that are actually going to change anyone's mind, are they? You know? Where are they? Where are the orators? Where are the intelligent people that are going to go to war on Brexit? They can only do it by manipulating and delaying and all that stuff, because the arguments are all the other way. You know, there they are saying, oh, the Parliament must decide. Hold on a minute. The EU has been deleting things that Parliament can decide on since 1973. What are you talking about?
Right. That's right.
Brexit is about giving a situation back where, at the very least, decisions affecting this country are made within this country by people who live in this country. I mean, so the arguments are all one way. It is desperate. The only way they can do it is through procedure and delay and what have you. Because, you know, this awakening, which is manifesting itself publicly now with Brexit and the perception of Trump, what they wanted him to be, it's not going to stop here. It's going to go on. It's going to go on. I'm seeing it all the time. More and more and more people stop me in the street wanting to talk about this information. More and more all the time. The interest, the penny dropping is going on more and more. And 2 or 3 years from now, these people think it's going to stop here. It's not. It's not. And what happens is you know, people might think that something is going to happen, and so they support it, like Trump. They realize that it's not going to happen, but their desire for it to happen doesn't go away. So then you go to the next stage. Okay, so how do we make it happen? Because it's not going to happen here now. It's not going to happen through politics. How do we make it happen? And it moves on and it moves on and it moves on. The genie's out of the bottle and he's not going back. He's not going back. And it's going to grow and grow from here. The corner has been turned. Not saying, you know, like I said the other week, you know, that Churchillian phrase, it's this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it could perhaps be the end of the beginning. We are at the end of the beginning. And the genie's out of the bottle. It's not going back. There's a lot to do, a lot of challenges to come. a lot of upheaval. Because, you know, when you're dealing with a virus sometimes, and what we're looking at in terms of society is basically a virus, it's a mind virus, then sometimes, you know, you have a fever and the fever's not very pleasant, but the fever kills the virus. And what we're seeing is things being brought to the surface now where more and more we can see them. And when we can see them, we can deal with them. And, you know, the challenges need to be seen in that way, not as, oh my God, but hey, this is another part of the journey out of this morass that we've got ourselves into. I am very, very enthusiastic of where we're going. Very early days in terms of it breaking into the public arena, but we're going, and this is coming down. It's coming down.
I tell you what, mate, it's funny you say that. A friend of mine, Mark Bierski, has just tweeted that your energy is incredible listening to it in Spain. He's listening to it in San Pedro in Spain. Big love to David. The energy coming across there is absolutely incredible. I want to thank you for coming back on. We put a bit of pressure on you to come on after the heat stuff. I know you're busy with the book. A lot of excitement about that as well. People asking what's it going to be about. But I've said to people, look, wait and see. And then, of course, you're off on the road again in a few weeks' time, starting in Slovenia. It is all good, mate. It must be an extraordinary time for you. We've got about 30 seconds left before we've got to get out to turn this around. So I'll give you the last 30 seconds if you just want to add to that, to the book and the tour, and then we'll say goodbye for now.
Well, I would just say this, you know, we can meet things in a certain way, or we can meet things in another way. And we can see challenges as obstacles, or we can see them as opportunities. And you know, now the momentum is starting to move, and it's been moving outside of people's attention, outside of the public arena attention, for a long time now, been gathering, and now it's broken the surface in what we're starting to see. And this is why, you know, the dark suits of Brussels and the establishment in general were walking around at the end of 2016 with bewildered look on their faces going, what just happened? What's happening? Yeah. They can't understand it. Asleep people can't understand people waking up. They don't get it. But they are. And if we start to see challenges as opportunities to go to the next stage, like Trump and all the rest of it, then we can ride the wave and not see it as an obstacle, but as a way that we something we can use to move on. You know, you can see it as a bad thing if as looks likely Trump turns out to be anything but what he claimed to be, but that understanding then allows you to go beyond the politics and see that politics are not the answer. So every apparent disappointment is actually an opportunity, and if we see it like that, we'll move quicker along this road that we've started to move along, and we're going to be sprinting eventually.
Legend,
not tomorrow, but eventually we're going to be sprinting. This edifice of human control is founded on the control and suppression of human perception of self, human perception of reality, human perception of world events. Once they lose control of that perception, and they're losing it, everything else changes. If they don't control our perception, they have no control at all. And they're losing, in more and more people, they're losing that grasp that they've held so confidently for so long. Not anymore.
Thanks to people like you. Thanks again, mate. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll be talking to you again real soon. And continued success through this year with the Worldwide Wake Up Tour. Legend. Thanks again, Ike. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Rich.
Bye for now. David Icke on the line to us on the Isle of Wight. Go to davidicke.com. Thanks to him, and thanks to our broadcast partners, alternatecurrentradio.com and Fab Radio 2 in Manchester. I've been Richie Allen. You and I will talk again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 7 p.m. GMT. This programme will be on podcast in a few minutes' time and on YouTube shortly thereafter. Until tomorrow, Thanks for listening. Bye for now. Bye now.